Yeah, I mean, one woman once said to me, you know, Phoebe, we don't have to be loud, you know, our silence can be our strength. And that was a very scary statement to me. I mean, I can understand it's not always good to yell and pound your chest, you know, but the fact that one can use silence as a way to convince oneself that you aren't, in fact, manipulating, you know, an outcome is, you know, a self-delusion. I feel, anyway. I always hated silence. You know, it's always been something that's, you know, that really has angered me, the fact that people don't come out and say what they feel, you know, and have the confidence to do that. But that is the trick of positive stereotyping and of this idea that in your complacency or in your silence you will benefit. You know, it's the fault of someone. People have benefits from stereotypes. I'll give you some examples that are included in the book. The young girl whose math teacher never sees her mistakes.
Right.
Because she assumes that she's good in math. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she doesn't know what to do about it. The young woman who tries to find an apartment in New York and has no problem doing so because they think that Asian women make the best tenants. You know, even though she plays the music really loud and she knows she's not the greatest tenant. And so there are lots of ways that one can benefit. But in the end, I think that that's so far from a true sense of power that, and if anything, we really have to look at it for what it's worth. That power is so limited. First of all, it negates any sense of humanity that you have. I mean, you're seen as, you know, as one of them, you know, of one, and not necessarily as an individual. Okay, big deal. So if you benefit, you know, a lot of people will say it doesn't matter whether people see you as an individual or not. If you get the good grades and you get the apartment. But I think what starts to happen is that if you have anything to say, if you have something that is, say, a dissenting voice, you begin not to know how to deal with that. You begin to love your silence. You know, you begin to fall into this pattern of having to perform to the positive stereotype, you know, and having to deal with the disappointment of not, in the end, living up to somebody's glowing expectations of you. And at some point in the future, you have to confront your humanity. Even if, you know, if no one's confronting it with you, you have to confront what makes you you. And that, in the end, I think is what kind of obfuscated if you continue to think that silence is power and that you're actually doing quite well by the fact that everybody thinks you're not a minority.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think it's possible to pick and choose? And
let me think. I mean, I'm searching for something where it would benefit. I think it would behoove us to always educate people about the fallacies of the moral minority. I don't know if there are any benefits. I guess it gives you entree. It gives you entree. Let's say that is a benefit. You're not confronted with the same kind of racism as, say, African Americans and Latinos are. But at the same time, you're also confronted with more racism from African Americans and Latinos because of those model minority stereotypes. You know, it's very hard for me to talk about race when I go around the country and have an African American audience, for instance. You know, they think, what does this Asian American woman have to say to me? She's white. You know, she's going to say, you know, those people benefited at our expense. That's what I hear a lot. And so how do I begin to convince them that I really believe in social justice issues, and my life is devoted to trying to open up dialogue and fight for equal access and, you know, things that have always been important to me. That's something that's just a resistance for a lot of people. They just say you have no right to talk about that stuff. So, you know, hurtful, but you know, you have to go on. You have to continue to say what you believe.